From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio, rural and agricultural news coming up next.
Today's program is made possible by Virginia Cooperative Extension, which is conducting a survey of farmers located in Virginia within the Chesapeake Bay watershed. This is an opportunity to tell your story of what you're doing to improve soil and water quality. The voluntary survey is found at ext.vt.edu or your local office of Virginia Cooperative Extension. Virginia Cooperative Extension is an equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Elderberry. It has become a very popular fruit these days for health reasons, for a lot of different reasons. Have you ever thought about who grows elderberry?
Perhaps a memory you share with family members. A drive to a locale rural, even remote, to pick wild elderberries. Mom or grandmom would make elderberry jams and jellies, syrups, maybe even wine from the harvest.
We get asked a lot about wine.
One of the many questions about elderberries received by Chase Kennedy. Among other inquiries for this Florida elderberry producer, especially from younger generations, what's an elderberry anyway?
As far as ripening goes, the berries are green, that'll turn red, but once they turn black, they'll have a shine. And once they lose that shine, that's the perfect time to harvest. Press that berry. If it looks like red wine, it's ready to harvest.
Kennedy himself did not know what an elderberry was until 2017. That is when, like some other consumers, he was introduced to this berry for some of its nutritional and perceived health benefits.
Our kids were in elementary school. They were sick, so we were like, there's got to be something that we can give them. We went down to the health food store, got some elderberry syrup. It helped them. They were healthy.
With a background in farming, Kennedy and his family decided to learn as much about elderberry as possible for purpose of growing it and making product from it. The Sambucus genus, elderberry, has several varieties growing wild in much of North America, particularly subtropical regions. So how did Chase Kennedy go about establishing his operation, North Florida Elderberry?
We bought four well-known varieties from around the country. We brought them to Florida. We're about 6 years from planting. All of our elderberry is American elderberry, the Sambucus canadensis.
With few elderberry commercial operations and growing resources available when starting out, Kennedy admits,
it's been a lot of trial and error. Like with pruning, feeding, water, we do trial and error. You prune them this way this year and see how they respond next year.
One lesson learned, smaller sized elder bushes and trees for ease of harvest.
Like down in Florida, they'll get 10, 15 feet tall. We don't want to pull our ladders out to harvest. So these varieties, they produce fruit around 5 or 6 feet.
And as for the taste of a ripened elderberry,
elderberry naturally is very low in sugar, so it has very low Brix. It's not a real sweet juice. Sometimes it may have a little tartness to it. It tastes good in its natural form. It's just not as sweet as blueberry or other fruit.
So sometimes sweetener, sugar, honey, blue agave can be added when making elderberry product to improve taste. In Chase Kennedy's case, no elderberry wine in his product line. However, from juice concentrate with honey added,
you would take a tablespoon of that daily, and you could add it into water, you can add it into lemonade, ice creams, yogurt, so it's kind of like a food additive. We're using the elderberry must to make balsamic vinegar. We also make elderberry jelly.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
You are listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
And this weekend, we have a special report from correspondent John Clark, who is at the Great New York State Fair in Syracuse.
I'm John Clark, traveling the countryside for Feedworks USA. Today, I'm at the maternity ward for the Great New York State Fair, also known as the Birthing Center, put on by the New York Animal Ag Coalition. And I'm with none other than Eileen Jensen, its executive director. Eileen, great to have you. What's happening at the Great New York State Fair Birthing Center and Mobile Dairy Experience?
John, we're excited to be back here in 2025 at the Dairy Cow Birthing Center and the Mobile Dairy Experience. We are excited to bring 36 Udder Miracles into the world this year. We have welcomed a few of them already as we began the New York State Fair. And for our second year, we brought the Mobile Dairy Experience back for fairgoers to understand the whole process of how their dairy products make it to their tables.
You know, Eileen, you're here today, and there's lots of stuff you had to get through to really get everything set up. A lot of frantic work that are probably intense the last couple of weeks. Aside from that, though, why are you and the board here, and why do you think dairy farmers have such a passion to be here?
For more than a decade, we have been able to bring the utter miracles into the world. That has been the number one goal, but more so, our fairgoers have really enjoyed visiting with farmers that are our volunteers, our industry representatives that are volunteers that put hundreds and hundreds of hours into making this possible each and every year.
Hey, what are some of the fun things that you hear from those consumers that walk through your tent and just the comments that they make to you, whether they're here in the tent or watching the birds streaming?
The best part of my job is seeing the smiles on the faces when the calves are born. The best part of my job is seeing the interactions between farmers and fairgoers. And the best part of my job is seeing the aha moments when questions are answered and perceptions are changed.
And they really learn literally about the birthing process. That's got to be an utter miracle for them.
Our number one goal is to help people understand and appreciate animal agriculture. And our hook truly is come see the and witness the miracle of life being born. But the ultimate success and impact we make are those connections and relationships that we build with our fairgoers.
It must be a two-way street for both your board members, your volunteers, to witness this, to listen to what the public has to say, as well as the public itself.
We have been doing this for 12 years. This is our 12th year at the New York State Fair. And so we are an utter success, as I'd like to say, because we wouldn't be back.
Pun intended.
Absolutely. We would not be back year after year if we weren't making a difference in our fairgoers' lives.
Hey, highlight some of the crew around you, because you have some special people that work for you and just are really dedicated and have true passion to get this job done.
The birthing center is a year in the making. So if you think about it, cows are pregnant for 9 months. So our cows that are going to be calving next year at the fair will be getting bred this fall. So we work with our host farms that are six host farms around New York State. We have over 200 industry and farmer volunteers. We have a dedicated board of directors at the Animal Ag Coalition that are all volunteer, some farmers, some industry representatives. And then we have some staff members on our mobile dairy experience, as well as in our dairy cow birthing center.
Eileen Jensen, Executive Director of the New York Animal Ag Coalition. Thanks for making time for us. It's been great having you.
Thanks, John. And we're excited to be here at the 2025 New York State Fair for another year.
I'm John Clark, traveling the countryside for FeedWorks USA.
And our thanks to John Clark for that report from the field at the great New York State Fair. That fair taking place through this weekend in Syracuse, New York. John always does a spectacular job of finding interesting people to talk about very interesting topics. Thank you, John Clark. Just enough time this weekend for our Pearl of Wisdom. This one comes in by email from listener Tammy K. in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Tammy says, never get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life. Thank you, Tammy, for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.